You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
College holds a mythic place in American culture, but there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Kale and Company, weekday mornings, 6 till 10.
A Philadelphia police officer who has been hospitalized ever since he was shot during a traffic stop back in June has died. Officer Jamie Roman, who served in the 25th District, died yesterday. Commissioner Kevin Bethel said that Officer Roman was surrounded by his family and had bravely fought since the shooting, fought to survive. The suspect in this case, 36-year-old Ramon Rodriguez Vasquez, is still being held on $12.5 million bail. And Officer Jamie Roman was one of two officers who pulled over Vasquez. At that time, he had no license. The car was not registered. And officers, if you recall the story, had called a parking authority tow truck, allowed Vasquez and three friends who arrived at the scene in another vehicle after the traffic stop to retrieve some items from the vehicle. And that's when officers saw a holster, confronted Vasquez, who then ran off but fired three times toward police, hitting Officer Roman in the neck. His partner was able to return fire, but Vasquez was not hit, and then went on to allegedly carjack the driver of a minivan, then entered two homes. Remember this? Held a homeowner hostage. It was SWAT officers had to surround the home, and ultimately Vasquez fired at police. And then we had learned that, in fact, his criminal records had shown that this suspect fired on officers in Puerto Rico after an alleged carjacking.
Yep, this is precisely yesterday why I said I believe officers have every right and should be able to use a lot of resources and tools at the scene of a crime to get the scene under control so they are safe, secure, and protected, and tragedies do not happen like this.
And Americans across the nation commemorating the 23rd commemoration of September 11th, 2001, including our area, hit particularly hard in Lower Bucks County. People will gather, coming together to honor the victims of the terrorist attacks with several commemorative events scheduled throughout the area. I believe the day's observances begin 8:30 this morning at the Garden of Reflection there in Lower Makefield Township, and it's right there on Woodside Road. This memorial hosting a morning ceremony that adheres to the chronological timeline of the 9/11 attacks. And it'll feature readings, the tolling of bells, moments of silence at those specific times when each plane crashed on September 11th, 2001. We'll have faith-based leaders there and expect, usually we have pretty big crowds.
Phil, if you're on YouTube, Phil has the timestamps up of when each tower was struck. It's a great work out of Phil. North Tower, 8:46, South Tower, 9:03, Pentagon, 9:37, 9:59, the South Tower collapses. Flight 93 crashes in Pennsylvania at 10:03. North Tower collapses at 10:28. Good work, Philip.
Don't you feel the farther we get removed from this, the more people kind of forget?
Yes.
I know that's how life usually works.
Right. And but after the debate last night, most people won't even think about it today.
Well, that's the other thing, too, is I feel like it's being, because of the debate last night, maybe we shouldn't have done it on the 10th, you know what I mean, for the analysis on the 11th. Maybe we should have waited a couple of days just to, give 9/11 the proper respect. I mean, we're going to be guilty of it, too, because that's what we're going to talk about all day today, too. But it's what I believe our audience wants, so that's what we're going to do.
Yep.
But I just, like, are they doing something in schools today? Or
yes,
they are.
I would hope so.
That's good.
I would certainly hope so. I had back to school night last night with my daughters, with parents and teachers, and we were there for about an hour and a half. But yeah, I would like to think so. I would hope so.
Yeah, all the schools, private and public. I know my kids' schools. They're everybody's doing that and does it every year too.
Yep, as they should.
We had, you know, obviously from our area, we were particularly hard hit, and including there, I had mentioned Lower Bucks County, because just in Lower Makefield, you had 18 victims. So you think of that community in particular, and we've reported live from the fire company there. By the way, the Edgley Fire Company in Bristol Township is asking us to put this out. They're offering a quiet space. Fire Company September 11th Memorial, located on the side of the station. They're on Edgley Road, open to the public for those who wish to pay their respects individually, or as well stop by, you know, to Greg's point, maybe bring by your children, younger family members who weren't even born at that time, to make sure that they know what happened and the sacrifice. The events remember and honor nearly 3,000 lives lost on that tragic day in 2001. And then to reflect on its impacts, because obviously we have first responders we still talk about who went in bravely, courageously, and were killed or still suffering from the medical, from going in and breathing all of that.
I can't imagine what it's like to have to deal with that 23 years later with lung issues and neurological issues. Just awful.
And so, you know, I'll pause here because Nick has a great big take, and that big endorsement that's coming up that we want to talk about as well.
It pains me, honest to God, I'm going to say something controversial, 611. It pains me that on a day like today, we have to spend time talking about politicians and Taylor Swift because they are the... what's the opposite of good?
Attention whores?
Yeah. So, like, I on days like today, I feel like we need to remember, what happened on September
11th. I remember vividly where I was. I've said this story before. I was in the guidance counselor's office, first period, 8:46. I worked for the guidance counselor to hand deliver tasks to different teachers and go get kids that were in trouble. The principal wanted to see him, the whole bit. And they had little old CNN on this little brown wooden TV that was barely color in 2001. And I'm sitting there and I'm watching the first plane hit. And I'm like, the hell is happening here? Like, you know, and then we ended up having a football game on Friday night. It wasn't canceled. And it was there wasn't a dry eye in the house. Yeah.
So we are sponsored this morning by Indeed. Need to hire? You need Indeed. Their end-to-end solution helps you attract, interview, hire candidates all year round, schedule and conduct virtual interviews right from your Indeed dashboard. Learn more by visiting Indeed.com/credit. And Best Work Industries for the Blind sponsors sports and weather. So Bryce Harper speaking out after what happened. Phil's won, beat the Rays 9-4, but it was what happened when Nick Castellanos was struck by a 96-mile-an-hour pitch. And, you know, Bryce Harper, going after Rays right-hander Edwin Uceda, who I think, you know, is being accused. He was ejected correctly, but he denies it. He says it was, oops, just an accident. But, you know, Bryce Harper hollering at him, and you see him come out there. And Uceda doesn't turn around, which was wise on his part.
Yeah.
But others, you know, saying this guy was like, he was just mad that he was doing poorly.
Yeah, well, and then, you get hit by a 96-mile-an-hour fastball. That stings like the dickens. I got to tell you, if I ever got hit by a 96-mile-an-hour fastball, I'd be out of work for a month.
I love that you said
just jogged down to first base. Like,
I love that you say it stings like the dickens.
You like what, that?
Like you're
I cleaned that up.
97 years old.
I cleaned
Thank
that up on the fly. That
yeah.
yeah,
that was
no
good.
Dump. No dump needed, sir.
But we're victorious 6:40 again tonight, and another beautiful night for baseball.
Yeah, the Mets lost. By the way, I'm sorry, Don. The Mets lost. By the way, so I think the Phillies are within striking distance of clinching.
Yeah,
at least.
Yeah, I think it's six. It's either six or seven, or seven or eight. With I forget how many games are left, but almost a mathematical impossibility.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
So we got that going for us.
There we go.
Which is nice. All right. So we are, so the forecast, I mean, mid 80s, beautiful weather.
Yeah.
I mean, throughout the entire week, just, I think this is one of the most beautiful weather weeks we've had all year, quite frankly. And then into the weekend, it's summer. It is still summer officially. So 86 degrees for your Saturday, 87 for your Sunday, but keeping that humidity down, beautiful, bright, sunny days take us through the week. Best Work Industries for the Blind's e-commerce store, helping businesses succeed in all work environments. BestWorkSupplyCenter.com, offering traditional office products, cleaning supplies, furniture, technology, and more with free shipping, next day delivery. Shop now, save at BestWorkSupplyCenter.com. Kale and Company News Live.
All right, Don, thank you very much. 6:15 on a Wednesday. Let's get to a midweek big take.
The Big Take on Kale and Company.
And the Big Take is brought to you by the Piazza Auto Group, one and done in the city of brotherly love. Well, it's a wrap. The first and likely only debate to become the 47th president of the United States of America is in the books. And it was quite an interesting event as Donald Trump and Kamala Harris squared off at the National Constitution Center in Philadelphia last night. Prior to 9 p.m., a handful of tidbits were revealed to the American public throughout the day, ranging from the stage and the setup of the debate, the podiums, how Pennsylvania suburban voters were handling the big day, and further investigations into just how radical Kamala Harris is and likely will be if elected POTUS on November 5th. But here is the bottom line. In life, there are two ways to give your opinion to someone or some entity. You can tell them what they want to hear, or you can tell them what they need to hear, whether it's discussing your favorite politician or political party, whether it's your favorite football team, whether it's your own children and your own flesh and blood. I choose to say the latter. And it might not be what you want to hear, but it's what you need to hear. Donald Trump did not have a great night last night. Kamala Harris didn't have a bad night. ABC News had an atrocious night. Those, I think, are the three facts of the evening last night. Donald Trump wasn't great, but it doesn't mean he will lose the election. Kamala Harris was better than advertised and better than expected, considering the bar is incredibly low after Joe Biden on June 27th. Not only, though, do I think she cleared that bar, I think she cleared a lot of expectations that the American public had for her from a optics standpoint. But it doesn't mean that she will win the election. And when it pertains to last night's debate and what unfolded, it will come down to three things on how you view the outcome and who won last night's festivities. What was your opinion? And who were you rooting for going into last night? That's number one. What media outlet or outlets or sources do you consume on the daily for headlines and takeaways? That's number two. And are you politically astute like our hardcore listeners? Or are you a casual, oblivious outsider who checks in for news and politics every 5 days for 9 minutes? That's the reaction and the way people will position things today, based on their own lens and their own vantage point. But when it pertains to Kamala Harris, it was style versus substance. I actually think her style resonated with the casual political observer. Style-wise, she proved that she could stand up to Donald Trump. Substance-wise, she lied repeatedly and offered very little policy explanation and very little answers to the moderator's questions, including the first one on the economy. Again, style versus substance, and who the viewer is consuming and what the viewer is consuming. Her words matter. Donald Trump had the zingers. Trump had to be his own fact checker last night because ABC News is so in the tank for Kamala Harris, I almost vomited out of my ears. Trump was good on the economy. I thought Trump, even though I think the abortion issue is a loser, I think he stated his position on abortion quite well, bringing it back to the states. No matter whether you agree with that or not, I thought he framed that well. But Trump also went into the border and immigration too often, unprompted, especially when it wasn't the topic at hand. And where Trump shot himself in the foot is when he brought up the dog story about illegal immigrants allegedly, reportedly, unverifiably eating pets. and only made it worse when fact-checked by saying, well, I saw it on TV. Dude, that's like saying, well, it has to be true. I saw it on Twitter. ABC News, what a disgraceful outlet they are. But expected. If you listened to this show yesterday, we told you they had a 100% positive spin score on Kamala Harris since July 21st. And they had a 93% negative spin score on Trump. And David Muir is a total hack. What that was last night wasn't even in the ballpark for journalism, fair moderation, and impartiality. I also thought Kamala Harris got off to a bad and nervous start. Did you pick up on her breathing pattern on that loud, sensitive, hot microphone? It was obvious that her heart was beating a mile a minute the first 10 minutes of the debate. She wasn't breathing when she was talking. She also had a scripted answer on the opening question, which was a layup, and she didn't even answer it. That was, of course, the economy under her and Joe Biden's watch. But I also thought it was a bad look for her to be smiling and giggling during the allegations of weaponized government against Trump. That's not going to stick well with people. It confirms my belief that this is a weaponized persecution of Donald Trump. But I also believe she really settled in and calmed down after the opening jitters. And I give Trump, again, lots of credit for once again stepping into a 3-on-1 handicap match, because that's what it was, no question about it. Anybody objectively could sit back and say ABC News was super biased for Kamala Harris, and that's a polite way of putting it due to FCC regulations. If you heard my microphone, if I was mic'd up in my living room, we would probably get kicked off the air. It's something he's not afraid to do. It's also something Kamala can't and won't. He will step into the lion's den. And with the big finish, the truth is this. Going into last night, I believed that Kamala Harris had a wider range on scoring for the debate. She could crash and burn. She might have been able to win the election. Trump had a more narrow range, as polling has indicated. He's been steadily between 45 and 48%. So he might go up a point or two, down a point or two, but Kamala could be more like the gauge on your dashboard for the gas tank. I mean, she could go from empty to full to half full, and we portrayed and laid out for you what the mainstream media is telling you today, and I don't think they are wrong. But now let's get to the tape. I thought Trump landed a solid mic drop moment when he mocked Kamala Harris with a run spot run zinger when it pertains to Kamala copying and pasting Biden's economic policy. Listen and watch this.
She copied Biden's plan, and it's like four sentences, like run spot run, four sentences that are just, oh, we'll try and lower taxes. She doesn't have a plan.
I don't think she has a plan. I think he's absolutely right. I laughed out loud when he said that, and I'm assuming social media did as well. And he's talking about her website, which finally, yesterday, the day of the debate, she finally posted four little sections of policy on her official campaign website. She is a complete fraud on policy. But this election is not about policy and issues. We know that. But when it pertains to immigration and the border, I thought Trump could have dished out the statistics of illegals, and I'm saying beyond what he said, because he mentioned 15 million. He thinks it's more like 21 million. I thought he could have went deeper than that. And he could have mentioned the name Laken Riley. To my knowledge, up until about 10:15, he didn't say that name. Wasted opportunity. Instead, he goes down the rabbit hole of an unverifiable dog-slash-pet-eating story of illegals and offered a terrible reason why he even brought it up. Listen and watch this.
I've seen people on television.
Let me just say here, this is the
people on television say my dog was taken and used for food. So maybe he said that, and maybe that's a good thing to say for a city manager.
I'm not taking this from
but
television.
But the people
I'm
on television saying their dog was eaten by the people that went there.
Laken Riley happened. This dog story has not been proven to be true. It made you look weird. Kamala Harris proved she can be a lying, dishonest, stone-cold, disinformation, and misinformation queen. Here was Harris spewing debunked claims multiple times from a variety of fact-checkers, ranging from very fine people to bloodbath. Listen and watch.
But this is not an isolated situation. Let's remember Charlottesville, where there was a mob of people carrying tiki torches, spewing anti-Semitic hate. And what did the president then at the time say? There were fine people on each side. Let's remember that when it came to the Proud Boys, a militia, the president said, the former president said, stand back and stand by. So for everyone watching who remembers what January 6th was, I say, we don't have to go back. Let's not go back. We're not going back. It's time to turn the page. And if that was a bridge too far for you, well, there is a place in our campaign for you to stand for country, to stand for our democracy, to stand for rule of law, and to end the chaos, and to end the approach that is about attacking the foundations of our democracy because you don't like the outcome. And be clear on that point. Donald Trump, the candidate, has said in this election there will be a bloodbath if this and the outcome of this election is not to his liking. Let's turn the page on this. Let's not go back. Let's chart a course for the future and not go backwards to the past.
It is 100% unacceptable that those two stooges at the desk, the moderators I'm talking about, didn't fact check her on that. And of course, the bloodbath thing is about the automobile industry with the U.S. and United States relationship with Mexico. Fireable offense if the bosses were being objective, which we know they are not. But then Trump had another moment where I thought he beat Harris to the punch. Excuse me, I'm talking. Listen and watch.
Minnesota, she went out. Wait a minute, I'm talking now. If you don't mind, please. Does that sound familiar?
That was awesome. And it was like watching a professional wrestler steal the other wrestler's catchphrase when cutting a promo. I thought it was brilliant. It was brilliant timing. I think we all knew that those words were going to be uttered. We just didn't know by who and when it would happen. Trump gets the point there with the zinger in the short attention span crowd that loves social media clips. And that matters. But lastly, where I thought Harris took the fight to Trump was on the global stage. Not policy-wise, because Trump had peace. He had prosperity. We didn't have Russia, Ukraine. We didn't have the Middle East. But this is a sticking spot and a landing moment for the left if they were wondering, does Kamala have the backbone to call out a man? World leaders, disgrace. I believe this landed. You might disagree. Listen and watch this.
And I'm going to tell you that I have traveled the world as Vice President of the United States. And world leaders are laughing at Donald Trump. I have talked with military leaders, some of whom worked with you. And they say you're a disgrace.
Could be a complete lie, but it just might have landed with the oblivious. And again, it's kind of like hearsay. We have no idea behind closed doors if any world leaders called Trump a disgrace to Biden and Harris. But for the casual observer last night, they sit there and they say, okay. I really believe Americans, especially females who don't follow this stuff, saw and heard that, nodded their head and said, okay. But did anything really change or were minds made up entering last night? We know that this is an election with a very, very small sliver of undecideds. Prior to the debate, the New York Post spoke with suburban voters in Pennsylvania, right here in our listening audience, and they found out the following. Quote, the 2024 presidential debate between Kamala Harris and Donald Trump is must-see TV Tuesday night. But crucial voters in Pennsylvania say even though they are tuning in, their minds are made up about 2024. Michael Riddell from Chester County is a decided voter, but he will be watching. Quote, I hope to get some direction for the country, more than for myself, he said. He will be voting for Kamala Harris. Quote, I think right now our democracy is top of mind for me, he said. He is a registered Democrat, but was once an independent and hopes to go back to it someday. Quote, I agree with her policies and I don't think Trump should be president, Riddell said. On the other side of the ledger, interestingly, in Delaware County, Kayla Quinn, female, said she will likely vote for Trump because she's frustrated about where her tax dollars are going, but she will still watch the debate. Quote, I'm looking for real arguments, not just petty back and forth, she said. I just want to see some real arguments and some real solutions brought up, end quote. So who was the winner? I think Kamala Harris was relatively good on how she projected to the people. Let me say that again. Projected to the people, not policy, not truthfulness, not track record, not success, but the optics and the projections to the political newcomers who don't consume this on a daily basis or didn't know her before. And how will the media portray it? Well, we told you what CNN, MSNBC, The New York Times, The Washington Post, and The Philadelphia Inquirer said about 15, 20 minutes ago. And the bar incredibly low post-Biden, and the fact that we've seen and heard Trump 6 or 7 times before. And Trump's had a bad debate before in the past, so it's hardly curtains for him. And then ultimately, what impact did last night's debate have on the election? I think Trump stays about the same. I could see Harris close to the same, maybe a mild bump or two, a point or two. If you look at probabilities like Polymarket or the 538 with Nate Silver, Trump might drop a percentage or so. Harris might move up 2 or 3 points. But swing state polling is what matters the most. And swing state polling, I think, will probably remain about the same. But in Pennsylvania, which is where it all comes down to, things could have changed last night. And if this election does come down to Pennsylvania, which it likely will, I could see PA voters and females certainly now backing Kamala Harris. I really could. Wouldn't shock me, shouldn't shock you. But I think bottom line, status quo, 98% of people, 99%, they already made up their mind. And you either suffer from Trump derangement syndrome or you want to make America great again, despite all the moments last night, good, bad, and ugly. And that's the big take.
The Big Take on Kale and Company.
All right, it's brought to you by Piazza Auto Group. If you are looking for exceptional offers on a new Hyundai, well, then you should visit Piazza Hyundai of Pottstown or Westchester to get 1.9% financing for 60 months on the 2024 Tucson, Tucson Hybrid, and Elantra. Shop online at PiazzaHonda.com today. 855-839-1210. We will take your calls all morning. Read your social media posts at 1210 WPHT and all of your comments in the YouTube chat. We'll get Dawn and Greg's reaction as well as we break it down all morning long. Debate night in America in the books. Cut sheet at 745, Bruno at 830. And we're back after this.
It's Kale and Company on demand from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the free Odyssey app.
I think that the best performance yesterday was Melania Trump. She released a video and, talking for the first time about her husband's, attempted assassination. And the way that she spoke was, it captured you and it was captivating. So I think she won the day. As far as the debate, I agree with all of the criticism of, so many people who said, oh, it was 3-1. And I said to Lair Bear, he says, stop calling me Lair Bear. I'm in the Wawa. And some guy goes, hey, Lair Bear. But I said to him, this is a Saturday Night Live skit from the point of the moderators, dressed and especially the Lindsay, who we don't really know as well. David Muir, obviously, is their main anchor. But, to me, it was a bit. The dark lighting, the weird, you didn't know the time frame. Usually in a debate, they say each of you have this many minutes. I don't know. It was differently formatted. And this dark set, and then each individual is lit. And so they were, I think even from the set, just to give some media analysis or television analysis, they did everything to equalize the two candidates to put them level. And then the moderators, it was like, there are no dead dogs, no dead babies. I thought it was a bit that you could really make fun of those moderators, that whispery, weird delivery they had. But I did feel it was biased. And when I think it was David Muir started asking the J6 question, I'm like, oh, abortion. She went on and on. I just think that, so it was teed up against her, against him. But with all of that said, he still should have knocked it out of the park. And he really needed to have more moments where he just stuck to what he was going to say. And wasn't that an old Ronald Reagan, you know, soundbite that everybody quotes, where Reagan had said, just say what you prepared to say and don't take the bait, essentially. He took the bait.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, when she said people start leaving your rallies early, I was like, oh, don't even, do not
that
even
was all,
respond.
She did that just to
on purpose
bait him. And yep. It worked.
Yeah.
Because that was where it all started, yep, with him going down the rabbit, yep, hole of social media nonsense.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And also getting into, well, people don't leave your debates because, well, they don't show up to your debates and we don't have to bust people in. And again, looking at those, you know, viral social media clips from 13 conservative paid influencers on X. Like, I don't know that landed. I thought, overall, she started off nervous.
Yes.
But I thought he took the bait. And remember, we heard a lot of the, hey, Kamala is being prepped by this person and Hillary Clinton and that person and Trump can be rattled. And you can actually, now maybe it's because I observe Trump on almost a daily basis, but, and he does have the orange complexion. There were a few moments where I felt like his blood pressure spiked and you could see it in his face. And when he kind of went off of whatever script he had or whatever he had memorized, you could sense that it was like the, I'm getting emotional. And I think there's something with men, when you get emotional, you shut off sort of the logical component of your brain. And she ended up getting under his skin there.
She had she had his number from the, yep, second she walked on stage, walked over to him and shook his hand.
Yeah,
and
did you
said,
notice that?
Kamala Harris. And that was on purpose. She did that for a reason. It completely took him off guard because he wasn't ready to do that. And I believe that was all by design. And it really went downhill from there. Now, that being said, her opening statement
was atrocious.
Yeah. And it was she was
he looked
he
looked confused. Like, why, yeah, are you coming over here to shake my hand?
But, yeah, she settled in, and once she settled in, yep, she was laser focused on him and rattling him. Her point was not to. Her point was not to put forward her agenda. That was not her point, because she has no agenda.
Right.
So her point was not to put for. Her point was to rattle Trump and show the American people, you know, the undecideds, the three people who are undecided.
Yeah.
How unhinged he is, in her opinion.
Go ahead. Her only goal was to not look like the lightweight.
Yep.
Right?
And then she did that.
And so she accomplished that.
Mm-hmm.
And so the bar was so low for her, you know what I mean? That was his to lose in that respect. Politico's headlines, Trump wins the debate for Harris. The other one is how Harris beat Trump at his own game.
Uh-huh.
Those are two Politico headlines. I will say this.
That is the common theme from the headlines today.
Yeah.
Yep.
I will say this. You know, this the one debate that was a disaster for the upcoming 2020 was when Trump and Biden just were two guys yelling at each other,
yep,
calling each other a clown.
Yeah, uh-huh. Grumpy old men.
It was like two grumpy old men. You're right, Greg. And this was not that.
Yep.
So this is not a KO by any nature. It's just that, you know, she did better than expected. I think it was 3-1, but that shouldn't have even mattered.
Yeah.
And by the way, like he's been in those situations, yeah, before with biased moderators.
Yep.
He has. Mm-hmm. And he's always been good. He's lost some steam on his fastball. I'm telling you that last night if this was 2016, maybe even 2020, he would have thrown it right back at the moderators. He would have insulted the moderators. Mm-hmm. He would have said, this is like, I don't even know why I'm here. It should just be you three. You know, like, there are so, yeah, many lines.
But was did he lose his fastball, or has he been advised to be more presidential?
No, he's been on the road. Like the Phillies, when they're exhausted after a West Coast trip or whatever, and they have, you know, the that.
Yeah, she's not exhausted.
See, I think some of it was coaching from the standpoint of, hey, don't go after her because you're going to be labeled a bully. Don't make it about the fake news. Like I said yesterday, his strategy should be just run it back. Take the same approach you did in Atlanta. He didn't.
Say what you will about Chris Christie, and I know everybody has opinions on him, but when he was Trump's debate coach and Rich Zioli was Trump's debate coach, he was way more prepared than he was with Laura Loomer and Tulsi Gabbard. So, and look, I'm a Tulsi Gabbard fan.
Failure on Tulsi or your part?
But just the social media rabbit holes he went down in last night, where 99% of the audience had no idea what he was talking about. The fact that he was even bringing that stuff up, that was coaching and guidance by people like Laura Loomer and Tulsi Gabbard. And they did him a huge disservice by that, because you know he doesn't know these stories. So it's people feeding him them.
Two things I'll point out. Here are my two things. Number one, it was Chris Christie, and he wrote this in his book, Chris Christie and Rizzioli. But remember, Chris Christie was the lead advisor prior to the clown grumpy old men debate.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll give Zioli all the credit for the good one. Okay. And number two, remember that was Virginia Democrat Governor Ralph Northam. Remember him? And that's what Trump was talking about. I sent you guys the radio interview where he did say, the mother, you know, as far as the baby is born,
again, guys,
and if they need to recess, it's a quote.
I know it is, but we're talking about stuff that happened 7 years ago that the American people don't give a crap about.
Trump was legit, but to fact check him, the ABC News woman, Lindsay, who said, there are no, whatever she said, there are no baby.
That was like her one little moment.
The truth is that if you fact check it, and we can air it, the radio WTOP, you have former Democrat Governor Ralph Northam, and he did say it. He's a doctor, by the way, and he was ripped for that. So you can air it, but he did say it. Trump was not wrong when he quoted the former Virginia governor.
From a fallout perspective, the betting markets of Poly Market have gone 7 points in favor of Harris. Going into last night, Trump held a 8-point lead. He was up 53-45%. Now it is 49-49. So we've gone from mild Trump lead in the gambling markets to a coin flip. Trump down 3, Harris goes up 3 or 4 points. I'm also getting the tweets of people that didn't like the big take. And this was from our buddy Ed Nasta, who just copies me in on Jason Miller. Oh, by the way, works for the Trump campaign. An official survey for Daily Express U.S. conducted by the Democracy Institute found 45% of respondents believe Trump won the debate, while 34% handed the victory to Kamala Harris. If you want to believe that from that one specific source, I'm telling you that's not the way the American public is looking at it today. But you can, you know, live and believe whatever you want to believe, whatever makes you feel better and helps you go to sleep tonight with a warm glass of milk. Also, the CNN poll, Ed sends me this. Well, Trump did pick up points post-debate on the economy. Yes, and he should, because her answer was scripted and she didn't answer it, and it was atrocious. Before the debate, who would handle the economy better? Kamala Harris, 37%, Trump, 53%. That went up to Trump, 55%, and Harris down from 37-35%. But that's one specific issue with a few different policies, mostly Trump policies, versus Harris's copy and paste job of Biden and Trump and Vance. But guys, yes, it's about the economy, stupid. But this election is not about issues. This election is not about proven track record versus incompetence. How many times do we have to tell you that? It's about Trump derangement syndrome. It's about facts versus feelings.
Because that's all they have.
That's all they have. It's abortion. And now here's an additional thing they do have. And I'm being fair and objective when I say this. Kamala Harris showed the American public. And by the way, the American public, for the most part, does not include this audience. This audience is a hardcore listening base to this station. I'm talking about the casual Tom, Dick, and Jane out there. They're sitting back as they're eating their popcorn, drinking their Diet Pepsi, and saying, Kamala Harris got a little bit of balls on her, doesn't she?
That's what they're saying. If you don't accept that, if you can't believe that, then leave me alone. Because I live in reality. I'm not sitting here this morning with my MAGA hat on. I'm telling you what happened last night. If you don't like that, I don't care. We'll talk about it. I'll give you my phone number, and I'll also explain to you the way the tooth fairy works. So you can live in that bubble. That's fine. But I try not to. Even though I'm rooting my ass off for Trump, and I want her to go down in flames, that was not a great night for Trump. And that was not a bad night for Harris. The only thing I think objectively we all can say, ABC News should cease to exist. They have no credibility. That was a disgrace. And I'm not going to, and here's what's going to happen. Here's what you're going to get today, okay? From all the people that you follow on Twitter, like the Johnny Magas and these guys that spend their day tweeting about one man who's 78 years old, all they're going to do is gripe about ABC. Because there's not a lot of moments where you can sit there and say, Trump was on his A game. But I'm giving it to you from all three vantage points. The good, the bad, the ugly of Kamala, Trump, and ABC News. And by the way, there's no good with ABC. It was all bad and ugly. So if that bothers you, that's fine.
I don't think Trump had a quote-unquote bad night. I don't. I just think it was, as my kids say, mid. It was mid. And so I think that it's good that they're going to do a second debate now. That's a good thing.
They are?
Are they?
Yeah, that was the back and forth.
Oh, wow. Okay, I did not know that.
Yeah, so that was the latest one on there that they said that they would do a second debate.
Actually, can we?
Yeah, let's continue.
Phil, can you wait? We're
are we over?
Yeah, we're waiting. The clock today is going to be a mess. Phil, can you pull up cut 26? Do you have cut 26? This is Trump talking about whether he'll face Harris again. Because yes, the Harris campaign wanted another debate. Mm-hmm. Do you have cut 26, Phil? If you do, just roll it. Maybe we don't have it.
That's fine.
All right.
We'll get to it.
Yes.
We'll take a quick break. We'll come back. We'll get that clip. And then let's get into what the second, apparently a second debate, what that means and if that's good for either of these candidates. And where will the second debate be? And then also we have to get to the endorsement that will probably be heard around the world today based on what came out of one person's mouth or social media account last night. Kale and Company, we put a bow on the 6 o'clock hour on the other side. But first, a word from my friends at the Piazza Auto Group, and we're talking about Mercedes-Benz this morning. Mercedes-Benz C300 Coupe at Mercedes-Benz of Westchester. What a vehicle this is. Sleek and stylish on the outside, packed with advanced technology on the inside. Its touchscreen interface, AI voice recognition, sure to impress. The 2024 C300 features a turbocharged 2-liter 4-cylinder engine with a surprising whopping 255 horsepower. Available today at Mercedes-Benz of Westchester, Wilmington, Delaware, or down the shore, Atlantic City, New Jersey, or you can shop online right now, PiazzaPremiumAutos.com. Tell them Nick sent you.
This is the Kale and Company podcast from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and on the free Odyssey app.
Ed in Delran. Ed, you're on Talk Radio 1210. Ed, you go right ahead.
Good morning, guys. Listen, let me tell you something. It made me so boiling mad last night the way they ganged up on Trump 3-1. It was ridiculous, in my opinion. And let me tell you, they fact-checked him, but they sure didn't fact-check her at all.
Nope.
And they let her evade questions.
Yep, I agree. And the fact that she was able to spew, find people on both sides and bloodbath, and that went unchallenged, just showed you how in the tank ABC was for her. 855-839-1210. Mike in East Norriton. Mike, you're next. You go ahead.
Hi, good morning. Can you hear me?
I got you, pal. Go right ahead.
I watched the debate last night. I agree. I didn't think it was fair on the moderators fact-checking. But the thing I took away from it was, you can see it appeared to me that the campaign trail, Donald looked a little tired. But rightfully so. He's been out in the public so much. She did look well-rested. She had that smile on her face that was kind of trying to get him to take the bait, which I do think he did. Unfortunately, I think that the country is heading in the wrong direction, and I do hope that most people got a takeaway from it that he has the right plan for us, and we need to turn the page, but turn the page in the right way, not turn the page in the wrong.
Mike, more importantly, were you at a local Wawa in the last day or two?
I did want to tell Dawn that I have I am the guy in Wawa who spotted your husband a couple months back. He came into the store. I recognized him. And I said, hey, Larry. And he turned around and I said, just tell Dawn I try to listen as much as I can in the morning. And I like the affectionate name that she calls you, Lair Bear. And he started laughing. And he kind of when he comes into the store, I don't call him Lair Bear anymore, but I do say hello to him when I do see him in the store. So I'm the guy. I'm Mike in Fort Washington.
Gotcha. There he is. Mike in Mike Fort Washington, Mike East Norton, all the same. Lair Bear. I like that. There you go. 855-839-1210, the phone number. We will come back. Second debate. Does it help Trump? Does it hurt him? Same thing with Harris. And what is the impact of a major endorsement from America's biggest star? We'll get to that as we continue. The Cut Sheet at 745. The news up first when we come back. Stay right there.
Start your day with Kale and Company, weekday mornings 6 till 10 on Talk Radio 1210, WPHT, and the free Odyssey app.